Well, it's good to be back. Spent a week with my children out in the Burwell, and then came back for 12 hours, and a week ago Monday, got on a plane for Aguascalientes, and spent a week with some fantastic youth. Our team of youth and adults was a fantastic team. They were extremely well-behaved. They were a great team. And they served about 80 children in a kind of a kids club VBS atmosphere for 4 days, and did a great job, encouraged Sam and Jenny. Next Sunday morning, you'll hear more about this. We will share more about that as the team will be in front of you sharing the things that they have learned. In the process, some very significant spiritual decisions were made, and they may or may not share some of those with you, but hopefully they will share some of them. Some of them tend to be rather personal, and so I don't know that unless you were talking to them face-to-face, they probably may not say, well, this is what I decided. But just know that if you would, be praying for them. It's funny how when you get alone with teenagers and you kind of get them outside their element, they tend to want to talk a little bit more. They shared some things that are absolutely confidential to me, but I share with you, they were very significant. And their struggle with some things that are really difficult, really difficult. And so if you'd pray for them, this is kind of a picture of, I think, the last day. I was not in this picture, and Danielle is not in this picture, because we were up doing some drywalling that day, finishing up some drywall so that the construction site would be finished, or at least semi-finished, for Sam and his team. Sam has had a back injury, and so he was really down in his back, and so as a result he couldn't do a lot of that. So what we did helped him out immensely in the construction side of it. But this is the children that were there on that last day, and our team standing behind them, and some of our Mexican friends who are back behind there. Some of them speak English, which we appreciated, and they helped us, and we tried to help them with their English a little bit as well. But that was the team that was there. And this morning I want to share with you just a little bit about some things that happened on this particular trip from my perspective, okay? And not very much related to that. But as we were talking, as we began our VBS, or our kids club, on it had to have been Wednesday, I think, Wednesday morning, we started it, and they were all meeting in this room right here, and they were just singing and starting the club, and I was standing just outside the door, kind of watching over everything that was going on, and all of a sudden I felt this huge, I mean, significant emotional heaviness in my life. I start to cry, and there's no reason to be crying, because they're all singing fun songs, and I'm crying outside the door. And I just felt impressed by the Lord to go upstairs. So this is on main floor, and they have an upstairs section, second floor. Impressed to go up into this room and to kneel down and pray. So I left the place, and I went upstairs, and for the entire time that they were singing down there and carrying on the Bible school, I was upstairs praying. Because I felt this heaviness over this area. And so I started to pray and ask God to protect our students, that He would move in their life, that He would open the eyes of the children so they could see the glory of the gospel, they could respond to the gospel. And as I prayed with many tears over this time, I don't know how long it took for this to happen, but as I was praying, God told me three things. He impressed upon my heart that I was supposed to teach the students how to hear God's voice. That I was supposed to help them understand to hear God's voice, how to respond to God's voice, and how to pray. So it was actually an order of hear God's voice, how to pray, and why to pray, and then how to respond. And those three things were just impressed upon me. And actually, he actually gave me the verses while I was sitting there. He said, I want you to teach them out of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. I want you to talk with them out of Hebrews 1 and 2, and out of 2 Peter. Now, he didn't give me the verses, but he told me the chapters, okay? that I was supposed to go to. And I went to those chapters, and they all hook together, as you will see this morning. And so as I'm praying for these things, I finally, the emotional heaviness lifted from me, and I went back down and started to interact with the students, and I did not tell them what had happened until several days later. Well, in the process, before I actually told them this statement, I was upstairs, and one of the girls was talking to one of the other leaders, and as they were talking, they said, "Well, we have a question for you that we want you to answer for us." And they said, "Why do we pray?" And I looked at her and I said, "That's exactly what God told me to tell you as a group. And we're going to talk about this." And so we did have a session where we talked about how to hear God's voice. And we talked about why do we pray. And we talked about how do we respond to the Word of God. Or how do we respond to God's voice in our lives. And as I came home, I was asking the Lord, "What is it that you want me to share with this fellowship of believers, this congregation?" And it came back to me that this is what I was supposed to share with you this morning, responding to God's voice. Now, we're going to talk about this out of those three passages that I shared with the teenagers. And they're going to say, "Well, this is a repeat," and yes and no, it's not a repeat. There are some different things in this. So if you heard the first one in our question answer time, this will be similar, but it's going to be definitely different because it's a new message from the Lord. By the way, I want to thank Joe. I don't even know if Joe is here. Joe, I just appreciate Joe speaking for those 2 weeks that was here. I listened to both messages, felt like both of them were messages of the Lord for us as a congregation. And so if you haven't heard them, I would encourage you to go online, go to the podcast, listen to those two messages. They are important to the life of our body. We need to be listening to them. And whenever God gives a message to somebody, I think it's His word to us through that person. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3, and as you're finding that spot in your Bible, I want to give you the context of this particular passage. This particular passage talks about Samuel, who at this particular time in his life is probably 12 years old, but he is serving in the temple of God. Now, if you know the story of Samuel, you know that Samuel was the son of Hannah and Elkah, who Hannah couldn't have kids, and so she prayed to the Lord that she could have kids, and so he gave him Samuel, and she said, "If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you, to the Lord." And so about the time that Samuel was weaned, which we don't know exactly what time that was, but let's just say it's 5 years old, he is taken to the temple and dedicated to the Lord, and so his parents saw him maybe once, maybe twice a year as he served the Lord in the temple. And so he had been in the temple for about 7 years with Eli. Now, Eli was the high priest of the temple, but Eli had two sons. Both of his sons were wicked men. It says in the scriptures they stole from the Lord and they stole from the people of Israel, that they were immoral men because they seduced the women who worked in the temple area and caused them to sin and caused great sin upon the nation because of these two wicked priests. And Eli, their father, had been told that they were doing this by God. And he says, "You need to stop them." And so Eli tried to stop them, as sometimes us fathers do, in kind of a tender way. And it didn't work. And they kept becoming wickeder and more wicked as the time went on. And so we understand that there is a wickedness in the priesthood. And if you think about the time frame that this occurred in, there's a statement here in Judges 21:25, which is really chronologically right in front of this passage we're talking about in Samuel. And here it says that this is a commentary on the time of the judges, the time that Eli lived in, the time that these wicked men who were priests lived in. And it says, "Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Can anybody relate to that? You're asleep. Okay? This is our time. Think about it. Everybody does what's right now. In other words, you can do what you want, and I will do what I want. As long as I don't hurt you and you don't hurt me, we're okay. Okay? And so, no matter what you want to do, it's okay as long as you don't hurt somebody else in the process, or at least don't offend them. So make sure that it's quiet. It's just, this is politically correct behavior today. This is what it was back in the Judges. This is what was happening with the priests. And then you see the story of Samuel, and several times in this particular passage, the chapter 4, it says this about him, that Samuel was only a boy, but he served the Lord. It said that Samuel was one who was working for the Lord, was caring for God's man, who was Eli, and Eli was almost blind at this time, so we assume that he was working for that. So let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God." Now, just so you know, he's not sleeping next to the ark of God. He's sleeping in a little alcove next to that area of the temple, okay, which is a place where the servants would have slept. So he slept in this little cubicle. And so he's close to the ark of God, and it says in verse 4, "Suddenly the Lord called out, 'Samuel!' 'Yes,' Samuel replied, 'what is it?' He got up and ran to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you,' Eli replied. 'Go back to bed.' So he did. Then the Lord called out again, 'Samuel!' Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed.' Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if someone calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel!' And Samuel replied, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out my threats against Eli and his family from the beginning to the end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever, because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by the sacrifices and offerings.'" So we have here the story of Eli and Samuel, and the contrast between Samuel, who was serving God and was starting to hear voices, the voice of God, and Eli's sons, who were blaspheming God and carrying out wicked things within the actual temple of God. And so we see this strong contrast based upon this right here. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And then we see this statement in the first part of 1 Samuel, and it says this: "Now in those days, messages from the Lord were quite rare, and visions were quite uncommon." There seems to me that there is a correlation. I think there's a scriptural correlation between hearing God's voice and doing things your own way. That when you choose to do things that are right in your own eyes and doing it in your own way, that God's voice becomes quiet. And he speaks very little to us at that time. Now, that is not always the case, okay? I know people who are godly men and godly women who are confessed up, and they have their sins confessed, and they are walking with the Lord as close as they can, and oftentimes it seems as though the heavens are brass and they can't hear what God is trying to say to them. There are times in our lives when we are spiritually walking with the Lord that it can be a desert time. And God chooses to do that because it helps us to be dependent on him even when we can't hear him. But we do know that there is a direct correlation in the scriptures between the fact that we are sinning before God and his voice that comes to us. You see, hearing God requires a clean heart. That's probably the first thing I want to say to us this morning. I think the Lord wants us to hear this. That if you want to hear God's voice, if you want to hear His will for your life, if you want to know what He's doing and asking you to do, it requires a clean heart. Because if you look at this, it says here, as we have already said, the messages in that day were rare. And so for God to come to Samuel would require that he'd have a clean heart. This is what it says in Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. May I suggest an application for this first point? And that is, if you right now are struggling with some sin in your life, okay, it just keeps beating at you and you keep succumbing to it. May I suggest, okay, that you continue to confess that sin. Now, when you do that, you're going to hear this little thought in your head. Well, how can God forgive you if you keep doing it? If you keep doing it over and over, doesn't that mean that it can't be forgiven? Now, doesn't that sound like condemnation to you? It does to me. It says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sin, past, present, and future. He has paid for it all. You, in his eyes, you are clean before him. However, when we choose to sin, we break fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like having a fight with your best friend, okay? And you have a fight with your best friend, and all of a sudden there's a distance between you two, okay? And if one of you comes to the other and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I was being a real, whatever you want to say. And you ask for forgiveness, okay? What happens to the relationship? Oh, you're back together again, aren't you? Well, that's the same thing that happens with God and us. When we choose to walk our own way, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, if we agree with God and he's right, and we say that we are wrong, he is faithful, we just sang about that, he always is faithful, to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us, to clean you up, to clean you out inside. We at that point are not regarding wickedness in our heart, and the Lord will hear us at that point. And so if you are struggling with a sin right now, understand this, that God wants to forgive you. He wants to have fellowship with you. So confess the sin. Get it out. Even if it's one that just keeps coming up and it keeps wrapping itself around you. If you will confess it, he will forgive it. And the more you confess it, the less you're going to want to do it. The more you're going to want to live with him. So the first one is, a clean heart is the beginning of hearing the voice of God. The second thing we see is that God's voice begins by honoring God. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to be honoring him in order to hear it. This is what it says of the boy Samuel. Meanwhile, Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. Okay, so how many of us think that serving the Lord is assisting an elderly person? We don't connect those two things up. Look what it says. He was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. So Eli had to walk from his bed to the place where he would receive people to talk with them. And so it was Samuel's job to take him there. It was Samuel's job to go get Eli a glass of water. It was Samuel's job to go light all the candles in the temple that needed to be lit for that day. It was Samuel's job to sweep the floors. It was Samuel's job to do all those mundane things that Eli may have been doing but couldn't do anymore because he was old. It was Samuel's job to assist Levi. He served the Lord by assisting another person. Wow. Did you realize that the work you do every day is serving the Lord? Just by doing your work well, you are serving the Lord. And so it says here that he was serving the Lord. He was honoring God. Why? Because he served him. He did what he was asked to do. Okay? So sometimes when we want to know what God is saying to us, we may say to him, I want to know what's coming down the road for me, but I don't want to do what you've asked me to do because I don't like doing it. And I would say to you, if you're not doing what he's asked you to do right now, don't expect him to give you more information. He expects you to use what information and the knowledge you've been given and to be faithful about it, and then he will give you additional information about where he wants you to go. It's interesting that the psalmist said it in this way. My word is a light unto your path, a lamp unto your foot. I spoke to the students and I said, so how many have used a lantern before? Nobody had used a lantern. But they all said, we've used flashlights. Now, some of the new modern flashlights can shoot a long ways. Okay, I understand that. So, but just think about it. How far does a normal flashlight give you on a dark night? What does it give you to see? A night without any moon, without any stars, totally black outside, how far can you see? Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three steps, okay? And then it moves with you, okay? That's kind of the way God is with his direction for us. Sometimes he gives us just enough to take two or three steps, but then he expects us to take those two or three steps before he gives you the next step. So hearing God begins by serving God. Please, serve the Lord doing what God has asked you to do right now. And then he will give you more information. You see, if you are new to hearing the voice of God, this is something I think is pretty pertinent. Hearing the voice of God often involves your name. When I first started asking God to speak to my mind, to speak to my heart, you heard me earlier in this message say to you that I felt impressed. I felt a heavy weight upon me. The reason he didn't use my name is because I have listened to his voice for quite a while, and I have learned to understand what is his voice and what is my voice. Okay, and this particular thing was kind of, it was out there because everybody was just having fun. They were all singing and having a great time. There was a lot of joy, a lot of activity going on. All of a sudden, I feel something totally contrary to what's going on inside there. So who is that? It's not me. I would have been rejoicing with everybody going on, everything that's going on in the room. And so I had to believe that it was God impressing upon me. And then he started to say, I want you to go upstairs. I want you to get out of this place. I want you to go pray. Now, if you're new to hearing God's voice, or you want to know more about this, I would recommend, first of all, have a clean heart. Secondly, be in service to the Lord. But then thirdly, start to listen for your name. Notice here it says, Samuel sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God, and suddenly the Lord called out to him, Samuel. And you say, well, that's an isolated incident. That never happened. No, it did happen many times throughout the Old Testament. In fact, one of the most prominent ones is in Exodus when God is called Moses to the burning bush. The bush is burning, okay, and not being extinguished. And Moses walks up to it, and all of a sudden, God says to him, Moses, Moses. Twice he uses his name in that statement. He calls him by name. Why? Because Moses was not used to hearing God's voice. And he calls him by name to get his attention. You will respond to your name. And by the way, most of us do not talk to ourselves using our name. Correct? Now, the only time I know that I use my own name is when I'm mad at myself. When I've done something stupid, okay? Then I may say, David. But not normally. I'll say, you dummy. I have some comment. See, we have a planning voice inside our head. You're familiar with your planning voice. Well, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do that. And so your planning voice is generally in first person. And if you're going to go with somebody else, it's kind of, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. So it's third person, plural, we, okay, I, we. And very seldom do you use the word you, unless you're mad at yourself. So have you ever thought about what happens in your brain? What's going on? You know, God gave us our brain. I believe that God uses our brain, our cognitive abilities, to speak to us. Okay? Not only do we read it, but sometimes he will literally impress upon our minds what he wants us to know. And people say to me, so how do I know if it's God or it's me? My suggestion is, try it. Okay? Move that direction. If it's God, he'll show you the next step. If it's you, you're going to know. But move. Do something with it. You're walking down the street, and you look across the street, and there's somebody you haven't seen for a long time, and you're impressed to go across the street and talk to them. Now, those of you who are extroverts, this is no big deal, okay? Because you love talking to people, okay? Those of us who are introverts, we would say, is it okay if I just stay on this side of the street? So for an introvert to be told to go across the street to talk to somebody, I think is God. Because it's not normal. For an extrovert, you have your own set of issues you got to deal with, okay? You have to figure out what God's saying to you. Maybe he's saying, don't talk to that person. You need to get quiet by yourself. I don't know. That was not in the sermon. Sorry. Anyway, God uses our voice. And this is one of the things I told the students was, if you want to learn how to hear God's voice, start to listen for your name. And ask God in prayer to use your name. Lord, would you just use my name so I understand what your voice sounds like. So I can hear your voice. So I can understand when you are speaking to me. But the last thing that we know is that responding to God's voice requires obedience. And this comes out of this particular passage, and it's toward the end of the passage where it says, Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls you again saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then the Lord said to Samuel, the message came at that particular time. There's two things I see in this particular part of this story that I think are pretty significant. First of all, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's how you respond to the Lord. So he calls your name, and you say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. What do you want me to do? If you don't know it's the Lord, it's not a problem to say, is this really you? Are you really talking to me? And most of the time what I hear is, yes, it's me. I'm talking to you. So, first of all, respond with, I'm listening. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. The second thing is, sometimes hearing and responding to the word of the Lord comes by listening to an older person who has walked with the Lord and can tell you what's happening. That's what's happening this morning. I'm trying to share with you my experience as well as the word of God related to hearing the voice of God. And so in here, it was Eli who understood. Now you would say, well, Eli, he had kids that were out of control and they were wicked, and doesn't that mean that there's some implication on Eli's life? Absolutely. Okay? Eli was judged because he didn't discipline his children. Okay? But at the same time, Eli was still the high priest, and the high priest had often heard the voice of God in his life. And so he knew. He knew what to tell Samuel. Notice that it takes sometimes an older person to instruct a younger person. Sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes it takes a younger person to instruct an older person. Depending on which one is listening to the word of the Lord. Which one has learned it? See, I think Samuel at 12 years old oftentimes knew more than some of his older counterparts. But if you read the end of chapter 3, you're going to find out that they start to recognize that Samuel was a prophet who heard the words of God. So God started to impart to Samuel the words he meant to give to the people. And the prophet received those wordings. Now it's interesting that in the book of Hebrews, it talks to us about today. So this was Old Testament. This was before Christ. But look at what it says in Hebrews 1. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. That's just what we read. He spoke through the prophets. And long ago, in many ways, he spoke through the prophets. But now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to take this very literally. Okay? So do you have a Bible here this morning? Okay? Would you please turn to the book of Matthew? Put your finger there and then turn over to John. Put your finger at the end of John. And now tell me, as I flip through these pages, what color do you see? What? Red. What does red mean in the Bibles we have? The words of Jesus. Okay? This was what Jesus spoke, was recorded. Jesus' words are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're recorded elsewhere throughout the Scriptures. May I suggest to you, you want to hear the voice of God? You want to hear what he has to say? Listen to his Son, who has been written down for us to read. If you read nothing other than what is written in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and focus upon what Jesus has said to us, and do what Jesus has said, you will complete your life very well. Your spiritual life will grow. But let's look at another verse, and this comes from the Apostle Peter. By the way, Apostle Peter lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He heard every word that Jesus ever spoke. He was taught with him for 3 years. And this is what he says. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in the Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. If you go to the context of this particular passage, you're going to find that Peter is talking about the fact that they were discounting the fact that he knew Jesus. And he says to them, no. You got to understand something. I knew Jesus, but I was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, on the Mount, okay? When Jesus came down and Elijah and Moses came down, and they were there together, and those three were consulting, and Peter, James, and John saw this, and it says that Jesus was as bright as can possibly be. I mean, brilliant bright, okay? And Peter says, let's build three tabernacles, and then what did God say to Peter? This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Peter says, on that day, I knew this was God's son. And there's nothing that's given to him, nothing's given to us that we created. We made it up. We didn't make it up. We are witnesses to these things. And then he says, no, those prophets, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. And they spoke from God. What's he referring to? He's referring to the entire text and context of this book that we hold in our hands. This entire book was inspired, was moved by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word to us. And you and I would both say at that point, okay, I understand that, I accept that, and I am reading it, I am studying it, I'm working in it, but I sure would like to know what I'm supposed to do about my roof or about my relationship with my friend or about, am I to buy this car or I'm not to buy this car? Or am I to, you know, we have all these questions about how to discern God's voice, God's will for our lives. Well, everything that's in here has a principle for the things we're dealing with. And as you read it, God will take his word and he'll apply it to your life. Now, you remember what God asked me to do, to teach them how to hear the voice of God, how to pray, and why to pray, and thirdly, how to respond. And in the process, he impressed upon my mind all these other verses, these texts that fit. So how is it that those texts come so readily to my mind? Because that's what I do. I read. I study. Now, I understand as a pastor, I have the liberty and the privilege of having much time to do that, okay? But what I know is this. Before I was a pastor, God still did the same thing to me. As I would read, and I would ask him questions about what I was reading, I would say, Lord, why this today? And there would be no necessary, there was never necessarily an answer at that particular time. But I was reading something in the beginning of the day, and by the end of the day, there was something that happened in my life. I said, oh, there it is. There's the connection. Because I'm looking for the connection to what I've read, to what God's asked me to do, or something that I needed to know down the road. Now, that doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen all the time. But it happened enough that it was significant that I understood that this was God's voice to me. I want to encourage you to stop being critical in the sense that that can't be God's voice, and start thinking that maybe it is God's voice speaking to you. As you read something in your daily bread, and it comes up, I'm amazed at the number of times daily bread meets my needs for that day. I mean, something happens and it's the same. But when we respond to God's voice, first of all, remember, it has to do with being clean before Him. Stay confessed before Him. Keep fellowship open with Him. Secondly, be doing something with your life, serving God. That can be your work. It can be whatever God has asked you to do in the church or outside the church. It can be just simply taking care of your family and doing a great job with your family. That's serving God. So serve God with what you know. Be confessed up, and then listen for your name as you're asking Him to speak to you, as you're reading His word, because this is His word right here. This is what He's given us. And if you have not yet found a way to read through this in an organized, orderly fashion, my suggestion is, if you've never done that, just start with the book of John. The book of John, because that's Jesus' best friend. You want to learn about a man? Talk to his best friend. Read the book of John. It's a profound book. It's a letter from John to us talking about Jesus. I want to encourage you to respond to the voice of God this week. God the Father, You are gracious to us and You are faithful to us. And You do speak to us. And You are continually imparting Your word to us through Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You wrote and inspired these words. You can re-inspire them inside us. So as Father, we read this week, as we take time out of our busy lives to dedicate time to You every day, would You speak to us, Jesus? Would You call us by name? Would You make it so that we cannot not understand this is You? And then, Lord, help us to serve You. To serve You before we hear from You and to serve You after we hear from You. All of this, Lord Jesus, for Your glory. That we may do what You've asked us to do. And when that happens, we will see the results of the power of God in our lives. We will grow because we've seen You work. We've responded to You, and we'll see it in the lives of other people who also have responded to You and are responding to You. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.